What a blessing. Take your Bible and turn with me to Luke chapter number 22 tonight. Luke chapter number 22. I feel like somebody might need to testify. Brag on the Lord. Go ahead, Miss Nina. Amen.
Where I need to be, you know, and what I love about this place is we have each other's back. You know, when somebody needs something, somebody's there to pick them up.
Amen. Amen, sis. God bless you. Ain't that a blessing? Luke chapter number 22. Did y'all find it? Luke 22. I want to look at one verse of Scripture tonight. I'm not going to keep you very long, I don't think, but I do feel like this is the thought that the Lord or the direction that He had me go tonight. Would you look with me at verse number 31? And I want you to really think about it and see if you can bear witness with this verse. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. How many of you know what a sifter is? Raise up your hand. Yeah. That's that thing mama puts the flour in and got the little handle. You know what it does? It gets the lumps out of the flour. Amen. It gets the things out that are undesirable. Have you ever felt like the devil's had you in a sift? I mean, and just turning your life inside out and shaking you this way and that way. Can I get a witness right there? Just when you think that what else can happen, something else does.
Yeah.
I've had that thought. I've had so many bad phone calls in a week, and I've really sat on the couch and thought, well, it can't get no worse, and then it does.
Yeah. Yeah.
And these days, you just want to crawl in the hole somewhere and go hide. But the fact is, we've all been put through the sift a time or two. And by the way, let me say that it's necessary for your life. What doesn't make you bitter, somebody said, makes you better.
Yeah. Yep.
Amen. We gain wisdom by learning.
Yes,
is that right? And we learn by our, somebody say it with me, mistakes.
Yep.
Amen. The Lord will let you mess up. Do you understand that?
Yes, sir.
Let me say it again. The Lord will let you mess up. He will sometimes set you up to fail. Didn't get 100% amen right there, but He will set you up and let you fail. Why? So that you'll learn that you ain't all sufficient and you need Him. Amen? The sifter is designed, I'm thinking on a bigger scale. I was watching a show on television a while back, one of them reality shows, and it was people trying to find gold in Alaska. I forgot what the name of it was, but they'd spent all their money and they put all their savings into one basket and they went to Alaska and tried to find gold. Well, they got this great big old box and they dump all this dirt in that box and then that box shakes. And it just shakes and shakes and shakes and shakes. And what it does, it shakes the junk out and leaves the good. Sometimes the Lord will allow you to be shaken up to shake some junk out and leave the good. How many of you have ever had the junk shook out of you, amen? I have a time or two. It seemed like the Lord grabbed me like a rag doll and just shake me real good. But I want you to notice a few things about the story. I want you to notice, first of all, the concession. The concession in the story. The Lord looked at Peter and said, the devil hath desired. Now say the next two words with me. Anybody know? Have you. The devil has desired to have you. You understand, did Peter belong to Jesus, yes or no?
Yeah.
Sure he did. What about Job?
Yeah.
Sure he did. I've heard people make the statement, boy, pray for me, I'm going through the trials of Job. I've never met anybody that went through the trials of Job. That's about as bad as it gets. And the Lord gave the devil permission. The Lord gave him permission. Do you know for the devil to mess with you, he has to have the Lord's permission? Understand that. You remember what the Lord told the devil about old Job? He said, he said, where you been? He said, I've been to and fro in the earth and hadn't found none worthy or righteous, whatever he said. And the Lord said, have you tried my servant Job? And man, Job was God's idea.
Yeah.
He said, well, let me touch him. He'll curse you and die. God said, you can touch everything but his soul. You can touch his family. You can touch his belongings. You can touch his health. But you can't touch his soul. Thank God. That's a good eternal security verse right there. Amen. I'm glad the devil can't mess with my soul, but bless God, he's messed with everything else I got. How about you? He's messed with my mind. He's messed with my money. He's messed with my marriage. He's messed with my ministry. He's messed with everything I've ever had since I've been saved. The devil has messed with it, and he still messes with it over and over and over again. But what I want you to realize tonight, if the devil's kind of putting the screws to you a little bit, the Lord just might be letting him. And it might be for a good reason. Is to get more out of you, or to get something else out of you that he's getting out of you now. Does that make sense? There may be more to you than you think there is. But the Lord's got to allow you to go through some things to build you up and to get you where you need to be. We notice the concession. The Lord allowed the devil to shake him up, to put him through the sieve. And here's the cause. There was the concession. Then there, thank you, Brother Tom. Then there was a cause. He hath desired to have you, for what reason? To sift you as wheat. To sift you as wheat. Remember what we said? That's to get the bad stuff out. Amen. Now, Peter doesn't understand this at the time. He's got somewhere to go. He's got something to do. But he's full of pride and he's mouthy. We got some folks in here just like that. If I could ever relate myself to anybody in the Bible, it'd be Simon Peter. I shoot my mouth off before I think. Anybody else like that? But I used to have a bad temper when I first got saved. I think I mentioned this Sunday when I was preaching, or Sunday night. Man, I've knocked windshields out of cars, knocked holes in sheetrocks on rigs. I keep them hitting her. I just hit the wall, amen. I'm serious. I had a bad temper. I hadn't had a temper tantrum. I don't even remember the last temper tantrum. The Lord worked that thing out of me, but he had to sift me to do it. Amen. Hey, I wonder what needs to be sifted out of you tonight. We're all different. We have different needs. We have different things. God had to work on my pride. God had to work on my mouth.
Yes, sir.
I don't know what may need work on you, but there was a cause for Peter being in that sieve. There was a cause that you say, well, why would the devil do something to help Peter? You don't understand. God allowed the devil to get hold of Peter, but what the devil didn't know was he was going to lose. You understand that? What the devil didn't know was he was not going to be victorious with Simon Peter. He just thought he was getting to shake him up real good. And anytime the devil gets permission to get at you, he's coming at you.
That's right.
Amen. There was the concession. Then there was the cause to sift something out that needed to get gone. Because Peter had a course. Peter had a course in his life. You understand? You got a course in your life? We've got a path that we are on. We're headed somewhere. How many of you know where? I ain't got a clue. Eternity, heaven. But on this earth, I don't know where we're going. Brother Freddie asks me stuff all the time. He asks me questions that I really hate because I have to sit and think. Hey, where do you see us in 5 years? I ain't got a clue. I really don't. I don't have a clue. I learned a long time ago, I can't figure God out. And if I say where I'd like to be in 5 years, I'm going to shortchange God. Does that make sense? I know what I'd like to be, but I don't know. We don't know what tomorrow holds, but we do know we have a course in this life. And there's only one thing or two things that'll keep us on that course. That's this book and prayer. Amen? David said it was a light unto his feet, a lamp unto his feet, and a light unto his path. This word will shed light on what your course is. I never knew my course was to meet a young man named Eric on visitation Tuesday night. Never dreamed I'd meet him in my whole life. But I believe with all my heart, because our courses passed or crossed, because our paths crossed, he'll be in church Sunday morning.
Yeah,
amen. What a blessing. You have a course, and we don't know what that course is. But sometimes God knows where you're going. You don't have a clue, but he's got to work on you where you are.
Yes,
ain't you glad God works on us where we are?
Amen.
Somebody ought to shout right there.
Yes,
I'm glad I didn't have to clean up before I got saved.
Yes,
I'm glad I didn't have to quit cussing before I got saved.
Yes,
somebody help me right there.
Yes,
amen. I took the Lord's name in vain the night I got saved.
Yes.
Are you listening? I was half lit when I got saved. So was that old boy out here by the smoker, wasn't he, Brother Stace?
Yep.
That's what they told him. He said, I can't get saved. I've been drinking. They said, so was the preacher. Amen. Ain't God good? I'm glad I didn't have to come to him. He came to me. He came to me where I was. Thank God. He'll work on you where you are. I used to tell Levi when he was little all the time, he'd fall, wreck his bicycle, or he could total a tricycle, man. That kid riding down the driveway and just flip the tricycle upside down. Like, I'd sit on the porch. Come here, boy, and I'll help you up. Angie wanted to go run out there and kiss on him, baby him. I said, leave him alone. He'd be all right. Amen. Ain't you glad God ain't like that? Ain't you glad God didn't say, come here and I'll help you up? He came right to where you was. Amen. I don't want to get too sidetracked right here, but listen, maybe you've been saved a while and God's already shook a bunch out of you.
Amen.
Amen. We got one of our men was telling me the other day, he said, do you know Brother so-and-so cusses? I said, yeah. They're people. I'm glad we don't have a church where you have to be perfect. I'm not saying it's okay to cuss. You ought to allow the Lord to shake that out of you. Amen. But I'm glad we got a church where people can come. Listen, just because you've been saved a while and you're further down the road somebody else is, hey, when they come in and they don't look like you or act like you or talk like you, hey, remember where you was. Remember where you was. God worked on you where you was at. Amen. I grew up with some of you. I know where you was. Amen. Yes, sir. Sinners. I was on the phone this afternoon. I'd called Roger Bush. That's what it was. Matter of fact, it was on my way to church. And Roger's been working with one of our men who used to go here, and he's quit coming. He's just flat got out of church. And he told Roger, he said, I got to get back. He said, but I ain't doing right. He said, well, if you ain't doing right, church is where you ought to be.
Yeah.
Amen. He said, it's for sinners. He said, if it wasn't, couldn't none of us go. And I thought, preach, Roger Bush, preach. Amen. He said, it's for sinners. He said, the worse you're sinning, the more you need to be there.
Amen.
I said, boy, that's the truth. Amen. Hey, we need to remember, we're all just sinners. Amen. Peter had a course for his life. There was no way standing here that day, and while the Lord's rebuking him about, the Lord's talking about how they're going to deny him, and Peter said, oh no, I won't deny you. Yeah. I mean, boy, he pops up so fast. Peter, the Lord said, one of you is going to deny me. Peter, it ain't me. The Lord said, get thee behind me, Satan. The devil hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. Peter has no idea that Pentecost is coming.
Yeah, that's right.
Let me say that again. Peter has no idea that Pentecost is coming. He has no idea that prison's coming.
Yeah, right.
Now, Peter could easily get the big head. But before he could preach and see 3,000 people saved, he had to be humbled.
Yes, sir.
Right. He had to be shown who he was and what he was made of.
Yeah.
You got to understand, it wasn't long after the Lord told him this that he cursed him. After they crucified the Lord, they said, weren't you with them? Oh, nope, not me. He warming his hands by that fire. They asked him that third time, hey, you talk like him. You talk like them Christians. You're one of them. And he started cussing. And you know what that did? Peter, the Bible said he went out and he wept bitterly. Man, he realized what he was. He thought he was Superman. He thought he was the one that would say, no matter what, I won't leave. I get tired or weary of hearing Christians say, I'd never do that. I'd never do this. I'd never do that. You don't know what you'd do put in a certain situation that you've seen somebody else in. Amen. One man said, if that was my wife, it ain't your wife. Shut up. You got one wife that you're responsible for. That's it. I wouldn't let my wife wear that. Don't. It ain't none of your business what somebody else's does.
Yeah, that's right.
Somebody help me right there. We want to interject ourselves in other people's business a little bit too much.
Yep.
Peter had to be humbled. The Lord had to humble him. And when he realized what he was, it broke his heart. But God had to let him be sifted first. When that rooster crowed, do you think the words of Jesus burned in his heart? He said, this night, before the cock crows, thou shalt deny me thrice. He said, three times, Peter. Not just once are you going to deny me. You're going to deny me three times before the cock crows in the morning. Before the rooster gets everybody out of bed, you're going to deny me three times. And I go, old proud Peter inside. No, I won't. Not me. No, I won't. I'm a Christian. Things Christians do used to amaze me. But they don't anymore. They don't anymore. Just when I think I've seen it all, I see something else. Just when I think I heard it all, I hear something else. There was a concession. The Lord allowed this thing to happen. There was a cause that something might be removed out of Peter's life. There was a course that Peter's life had to follow. And by the way, if you're going through it, you're probably on course. If you're going through it and you feel like your life's just being shook up and twisted, and you're probably right where you ought to be. If you're one of those Christians, you never have any troubles, you never have any problems, everything's always just all right, you probably out of the will of God.
That's right.
Would you agree?
Yes, sir.
How many of you saved and you know it and you still go through it by the handful?
Yeah.
Amen. And the more you try to live for God and the more you try to find the will of God for your life, the more you're going to go through it. Amen. God's trying to turn you into something. There was a concession, the cause, and then the course for Peter's life. But lastly, I'm going to give you this, and we're done. Here's what's encouraging. Look at verse number 32. I want you to notice the comfort. And he said unto him, let's see, wrong verse. Verse number 32. Verse 31, the Lord tells him that the devil has desired him. He's rebuked him. He called him the devil. He said, get thee behind me, Satan. He said, the devil hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. And then verse number 32, watch what he said. But, y'all remember what that word is, don't you?
Yes, sir.
That's a conjunction. It means what has about to be said or what is about to be said is going to be totally the opposite from what has just been said. Let me say that again. It means what's about to be said is going to be totally opposite from what has just been said. He said, the devil has desired you that he might sift you as wheat. But, watch this next statement. I have prayed for thee. Woo! Hey, brother, it might be special to you that Brother Eddie prays for you. It might be special to you that Brother Charles prays for you. Hey, but Jesus looked at Simon Peter and said, but I have prayed for you. Boy, I find that comforting. I find that a little easier to go through the sea and go through the troubles and go through the trial if I got somebody sitting at the right hand of the Father praying for me. Isn't that cool? Do you think Jesus loves you enough to pray for you? If he loved you enough to die for you, sure, he loves you enough to pray for you. I have prayed for you. The Bible said he ever liveth to make intercession for us. You know what that means? Intercession? Prayer. When we go to God, here's our prayer sheet tonight. There is front and back. Man, this thing's almost full. It's three quarters of the way full on the back. That's a lot of prayer requests. Now, very few of these, if any, will have anything to do with me. They're all somebody else. And if there's lost people on here, we're praying for people who don't even pray. Does that make sense? You know what we're doing? We're interceding. What that word intercede means is to go to on one's behalf. In other words, what Jesus Christ is doing in heaven right now is interceding prayer with the Father on my behalf and your behalf.
Amen.
Amen. I feel like the Lord probably liked my mama a lot. Y'all know how she does in service? Bless him, Lord. Especially if I mess up and do something stupid, say something stupid. Mama says, bless him, Lord. I'm just here the son sitting by the Father saying, bless him, Father. Help him, Father. Hey, he's going through it, Father. Let's give him some strength. Let's give him some power. Let's give him some encouragement. Amen. Well, I find that comforting. We're going to get down here and pray for a minute, in a minute. But to think about him praying for us, I like that. The psalmist said, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He's praying for us. He's planning our course, our steps. The Bible said, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Man, he's praying for me. He's setting my course before me, and he's holding me up. The only thing that's kept any of us from falling is the hand of God. Amen. And if we're not careful, you can still fall. All you got to do is walk away from that hand. Amen. The next time you're going through it, try and figure out what it is God's trying to get out of you. Try to figure out what it is God's trying to put into you. Figure out that God has a destination He's trying to get you to. Sometimes it seems like God's just mean, ain't it? But He's not. He loves us. He loves us. We correct our kids because we love them. How many of you ever remember the first time you ever whipped one of your children? Anybody remember that? I remember it like it was yesterday. I don't remember the first time I whipped Levi, but Ashley, I'll never forget the first time I whipped her. I whipped her and I don't know who cried more, me or her. Boy, it broke my heart. But I wanted my baby's life to turn out right. So I had to put the belt to her. God doesn't love beating us up. He's just trying to make more out of us. Brother Tom Hayes preached a message one time about Abraham and Isaac. Levi sang about it tonight. I believe God loved Abraham with all his heart. I believe He loved Isaac with all his heart. Brother Tom preached a message, and this was the title: God doesn't want your Isaac. He just wants more of you. God didn't want Isaac. He just wanted more of Abraham. Would you imagine Abraham's faith was a little stronger coming down the mountain than it was going up? He had faith going up. He believed him and that boy was coming back. He said, y'all abide here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again. But boy, can you imagine? I bet it's a little different spirit coming down that mountain, don't you? And think about the times in your life where it didn't look good. When you didn't think you'd make it. When you'd had it up to here and you couldn't take any more. But God allowed a little more to come. But now you're on the backside of it looking. It don't look near as bad now, does it? Because you made it through it. You made it through it. Remember the next time you're going through it, what God may be trying to do in your life. He don't want whatever it is. He just wants more of you. I'll tell you the story and I'm done. As a missionary, told this story years and years ago. Said he was a missionary to the American Indians, and I forgot what tribe it was. But he thought if he could win the chief to Christ, he could get the whole tribe. That makes good sense. So he set out to win this chief to Christ. He said the first day he witnessed to the chief, later the chief came to where he was and brought his horse. He said, chief, give God best pony. He said, God don't want your pony. Chief stormed off mad. He come back the next day and he brought his bow and his arrows. He said, chief, give God bows and arrows. He said, chief, I'm sorry. God doesn't want your bows and arrows, and He doesn't want your pony. The next day the chief came and he brought his most prized possession, his headdress. It signified who he was. He laid that headdress on the ground. He said, chief, give God headdress. He said, chief, God doesn't want your headdress. He stormed off mad again. Next day he come back with nothing in his hand. He said, chief, give God Indian. Have nothing left. He said, now you got it, chief. God don't want all your stuff. He just wants you. Amen. And as we grow in Christ and we go through struggles and we go through battles, God's just trying to get a little more of us. Amen. But you know what? We're so stingy. Knowing how much He blesses us, we still want to hold on, don't we? Lord, just let Him have it. Let's stand our feet tonight. I know that wasn't much, but that's what God put on my heart tonight. Somebody may be in the sieve tonight. I don't know for what reason, but God does. And you can trust Him. You can trust Him when you're going through it. Amen? Come pick you up a prayer sheet. We'll spend a little time praying together. When you get done praying, you're dismissed.